Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Monday, April the 6th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. It is Easter Monday. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. And we got just nothing but goodness ahead of us. We are diving in this week to Unpuzzled, to Ephesians. I'm calling it Unpuzzled. And this is a fantastic, one of the most important letters ever written in the history of the world, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. We're going to take 6 weeks together, walking through it verse by verse. I've been looking forward to it. I'd love it if you got the workbook. If you got one, awesome. If you don't want one, that's awesome too. This is fine. Maybe you're watching this on YouTube or hearing it on an Apple Podcast. Maybe you've got the email. I don't know. We're trying to get this thing sown as much as we can. But the best sowers of all are you. So share this with others. Now, let's dive straight in, beginning with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you, and we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I kind of picture we're still sort of hanging out there in the garden, and we're right there around that empty tomb, and our jaws are dropping. Jesus is sitting there on the stone that was rolled away, and he's saying, believe it, it's true. I'm back from the dead, never to die again. And he's just eager to meet with us. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly that after his resurrection from the dead, Jesus taught his disciples for 40 days. It says he taught them about the kingdom of heaven. And on that 40th day, he ascended into heaven. And of course, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit comes on the church on the day of Pentecost. And that gives us 50 days. Easter is a 50-day party. And we're here for it. So we're diving into Ephesians, and Jesus is going to be teaching us on the kingdom of heaven for 40 days here together. 50 days. He's going to go all the way. So I'm delighted to be with you for his teaching. I'm just kind of the stagehand. I'm the narrator, if you will. Today's entry is entitled, On the Difference Between Living for Jesus and Living from Jesus. And our text is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1a. Okay? I said verse by verse, we're going inside of the verse, the first verse. Hear now the word of the Lord. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Have you ever gotten a letter from God? I haven't either. But wait, isn't that what the Bible is? A massive letter from God? Yes, we believe the Bible is God's word. But God did not write it. People wrote the Bible. The Bible is a human document. So does this somehow diminish the Bible's authority? Not for a second, because the Bible is also a divine document. Every word of the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Look at how the Apostle Peter describes this mysterious reality. He says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." That's 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. Notice when Paul opens the letter, he doesn't say, "This letter is from God." Go back and read it again. His opening five words are, "This letter is from Paul." In saying this, Paul takes responsibility for the letter. Watch what he says next. "Chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus." Paul claims to possess authority without claiming to be an authority. Jesus Christ is the authority. Paul is his apostle. Because Paul knows he is not the authority, he has the capacity to share in the authority of Jesus. An apostle, or a Christian for that matter, is not a worker for Jesus, but a messenger from Jesus. These distinctions may seem like subtleties. They are not. We do not live our lives for God. We live our lives from God. We do not work for Jesus. We work from Jesus. Our lives are the letter. Paul's letter and his life are one and the same because they're both coming from somewhere else, from the person of Jesus Christ through the presence of the Holy Spirit, resident in him and through him. You see, discipleship is not about mastering a body of knowledge or conforming to a behavioral code. Discipleship means learning to live freely under the mastery or the lordship of Jesus Christ, which is to stay in the abiding zone of his active presence. It means learning to be, quote, carried along by the Holy Spirit. Paul's letter to the Ephesians is not a flat description of something he has mastered. It is an inspired declaration, description, and demonstration of the reality in which he lives. Prepare yourselves, friends. We aren't taking a seat on Paul's tour bus. We are entering into the zone of divine presence. And let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, in whom the very fullness of your presence dwells bodily, and who dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. We want this more than life itself, because this is, in fact, life itself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Got a few journal prompts for you today. If you got our Unpuzzled book, you got lots of space after each entry and in the sidebars to journal. Here they are. And of course, these questions are in there too. What do you make of this distinction between living and working for Jesus and living and working from Jesus? How would you express that in your own terms? Do you think of the Christian life as requiring more effort from you or more trust in God than if you did not follow Christ? And then the last question, have you ever thought of your life as a letter from God to the world? What implications would that have for you? Those are some big questions. And already I can see the wheels turning. I can sense your cogitation. But we had a great walk to the cross, didn't we? With Jesus asking. And we walked right up to the grave with him, and he came out the other side. And now we're following him into the great beyond, the great adventure, the kingdom of on earth as it is in heaven. And I appreciate you being with me. I'm going to have Dad in some to help us with the singing. And we're just going to keep right on going. I would love to hear from you on Jesus Asking. I'm going to put a link in the PS in today's email. We'll put a link hopefully on the YouTube and Apple Podcast and Spotify show notes section. You know, we'd love to hear what happened. Tell me the story. How did Jesus meet you through those days of Lent and our journey together? Tell me what happened. Just click on the link. It'll be short, to the point, and quick. And then just as a small favor, something I'd love to ask you, if you're watching this on YouTube or if you're hearing it on Apple Podcast or Spotify Podcast. You know, guys, we're sowers. And the amazing thing about these platforms like YouTube and Apple and Spotify, they will sow for us. But what it takes is for you to get on the thing and write a review, put some 5 stars out there if it seems right to you and the Holy Spirit, and write a short bit of review, comment. And what happens is if a lot of people do that, Apple moves it up, Spotify moves it up in the rankings, and when it moves up in the rankings, more people that don't have any idea about it see it. And that's what I mean by they'll sow for us. But you can't ask them to do that. You can't pay them to do that, really. It takes real people offering real comments and reviews. So that's an ask from me to you. But I am eager to dive in here. And, you know, if you're new to us, welcome. This is an everyday meeting with Jesus. We wake up to Jesus. We open up the Word of God. He teaches us. He leads us. He guides us. We're going not by information, but by revelation. We're moving from consecration into transformation and out into the fields of demonstration. Jesus then does it through us in the world. We sing every day. Today, I'm going to lead us in a little chorus that maybe you know, maybe you don't. You'll pick it up if you don't. It's just been on my heart as I've gotten prepared for this series. It's called Open the Eyes of My Heart. And you'll see as we get down through Ephesians chapter 1, that's what Paul's praying for. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be opened, enlightened, so that you may know, like so that you may know him better, and that you may begin to know your great, the great inheritance that he's given us. And that's something the Spirit of God has to do. And that's why we pray, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. So I'm going to lead us. You sing with me. I'll try to get the words printed in the email. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, 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 holy to him. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Let's do it again. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Would you open the eyes of my heart? I want to see you. I want to see you. I just invite you to sing that, just to keep going with it. That's a song that we want to sing all day long. We want to see him all day long. We want to keep our eyes fixed on him as we prayed at the beginning today. Jesus, you see, he is ascended to the right hand of God, physically embodied. I love how Tom Wright, N.T. Wright, says there is a Jewish carpenter in the heavens, and he is reigning over the heavens and the earth. And Jesus Christ, he's not somewhere over the rainbow. He's not some distant apparition. He's not a disembodied spirit. He's a human being, the fully God, fully human. Seated at the right hand of God, he's not invisible, he's unseen. He's not way up there, he's right here, right now, just through the veil. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And that's what we're praying, and we're moving in the world. I want to see you, Jesus. I want to see you in the stranger. I want to see you in the person in need. I want to see you in my family. I want to see you in our town, in our nation. So this is where we're going here for these days together in Ephesians next 6 weeks. I'm excited to be with you. Get your seeds every day, gang. I have seeds right here. If you're watching this, you can see these seeds in my hand. And I always say, for the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt, and I'll see you on the field.